Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, women complain, women show feelings of being ungrateful and feelings of not being thankful to what the husbands do. This is a major sin, and this is one of the main reasons of entering hell. But if women claim and complain that this is our nature, we can't do anything about it, in this case, Allah knows the truth, and in this case, the Prophet ﷺ has directed you to do what erases some of these sins, and that is paying charity. And Allah Azza wa Jal also revealed an ayah where He says that verily the good deeds erase the bad deeds. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. We learn if women have shortcomings, they have to compensate by night prayer, by offering sadaqah. And of course, the best thing to do is to tolerate. You must tolerate your husband. You must cope with what he has. You must be grateful to the least of what he's presenting, because the companions, their wives, whenever they wanted to go out to earn money, their wives used to tell them, "Fear Allah in us, because we can tolerate hunger, but we cannot tolerate haram money. We are ready to be patient and not to eat a lot, but we're not ready to eat something that is haram that would take us to hell." From this hadith, we learned that it is permissible to dedicate a sermon for the females. And this was requested by the females at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they said, "O Prophet of Allah, the men have overwhelmed you and took you from us. So designate one day a week where you come to us or we come to you and we learn from you." And this shows how careful they were in learning from the Prophet ﷺ. From this hadith, we also learned that women used to go out to attend the sermon and the prayer of Eid. And it is unlike praying in the masjid. We've stated before that praying in the masjid for women is not recommended. It is more recommended for them to pray in their homes. Unlike Eid. Eid, it is highly recommended for them to go out, and some scholars even went further to say it is mandatory for them to go out and attend the Eid, as we will know inshallah later on. From this hadith as also, that the sunnah for women to be segregated from men. So the women were far away from the men. They were not mixing together. And one of the most shocking and ridiculous piece of news that I've heard in the past few years, where a woman led the prayer of Friday. She was the Friday imam in America. And in America, everything that is weird happens. Everything you would think of happens in America. But this was the funniest and the most stupid, because it was unprecedented. It never happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It never happened at the time of the Muslims. 15 centuries, never to happen, where a woman leads the Friday prayer and gives a sermon. And the muezzin, I saw that on the YouTube, was so funny because she was not even wearing the veil. She was a woman. And in the prayer, you saw women and men praying next to each other, women in their jeans and men next to them. What kind of prayer is this? This is almost close to being an orgy rather than being a Friday prayer. This is ridiculous. This is playing with religion, and it can reach the stage of nullifying a person's religion if he thinks he can play with Islam like this. This goes against the ijma' of the Muslims. The way of life, the way of the companions, it showed that the Prophet ﷺ promoted segregation between men and women. Women have their own society. They can do whatever they want. But once a man and a woman mix together, the inevitable must happen. And we all know what happened. And they say, no, once they get used to it, it becomes okay and normal. And this is only in the minds of you Muslims. Well, I beg to differ. We all know what one of the presidents of a superpower did with an intern. And we know what he had done with her because she was working with him. And he was married, and he's married, he has children. And he did what was known to be one of the biggest scandals in the history of America. President with an intern. Why? Because of the mixing. This is what Islam protects, the women and men. Segregation for the better and for the best for the society. We also learn from the hadith that the companions, whether men or women, were so quick to respond to the Prophet's call, alayhi salatu wasalam. The minute they learned that they will be in hell because of their sins, and the Prophet encouraged them to give sadaqah, none of them said, okay, I'll give you a rain check, or wait until I go back and get my credit cards, or I will try to sell. No. Immediately, whatever they had, they gave it for Allah, and they started throwing their jewelry to Bilal, who was collecting this for sadaqah. And finally, we learn from this hadith the ruling on piercing the ear. Because some scholars said that piercing the ear so that you would wear, not you of course, men, so that women would wear earrings, they said that this is torture and it is not permissible. And this is incorrect. Whatever means a woman needs to beautify herself, which is known among the Muslims, it is permissible. And since the time of the Prophet ﷺ, women used to wear earrings and they used to pierce their ears for that. What's the ruling on piercing another piercing for having two earrings or three earrings? The scholars say that this is permissible, though it is not known to be part of women wearing jewelry, except recently when the women in the West started piercing two or three. But they say again, as long as this is normal practice among the Muslims, it's permissible. What's the ruling on piercing the nose? If the customs of the Muslims state that this is form of beautification, it is permissible, though it is not recommended. Now, piercing other parts of the body is completely prohibited. So someone says, what's the ruling on piercing my tongue? Or piercing my nipples? Or piercing my belly button? Or piercing the... All of this is un-Islamic. And it's cause of torturing and mutilation that is uncalled for in Islam. Of course, to have men pierce themselves, it's even more forbidden. Piercing is only permitted for women. I believe that these are all the rules that we can get from this hadith. If you have any question, I believe we have few minutes left. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
John.
The age that you stated for slaughtering of animals, is the same to be followed for any other sacrifice other than the sacrifice of Eid al-Adha?
Yes. These ages, they must be followed in sacrificing your hadi, for example. And as we know, the slaughtering is either for hadi, and this is done by a pilgrim. A person who's doing pilgrimage, he offers hadi. A person who's not going for hajj, he offers udhiyah. A person who makes a mistake and has to compensate for it by slaughtering, he slaughters a fidya. And a person who is blessed by Allah with a baby child, he slaughters aqiqah. And a person who gets married, he slaughters his walima. So these are the major five types of slaughtering in Islam. And it is recommended that it is mandatory for udhiyah, hadi, fidya, and aqiqah that they be more than 6 months old for a sheep, 1 year old for a goat, 2 years old for a cow, 5 years old for a camel. But for the walima, you can cook whatever you wish. It's food that is necessary. Yes.
In the Indian subcontinent, after the Eidin namaz, the greeting is done by shaking hand, embracing. So what is the right way of greeting each other after Eidin namaz?
Are you talking about prayer of Eid?
After the prayer of Eid, yeah.
Yes.
After the Eid, yeah.
the Sunnah is, as reported in Muwatta Imam Malik, that the companions, and I believe that it is reported by Jubair ibn Nufair, that the companions used to greet each other by saying, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ, may Allah accept from us and you. So if the companions used to do this, the greeting itself is recommended and it is permissible in Eid. However, the ruling on shaking hands after normal prayers, this is not recommended. Some countries, some places, when you go after salam, concluding the prayer, you go to your right, assalamu alaikum warahmatullah, assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Even if you saw him and greeted him before salah, you also do this. Now, this is not part of the sunnah. Yes, if there is someone you didn't see since a long time and you would like to greet him, yes. But someone you see every single prayer, 5 times a day, 7 days a week, every prayer you shake hands with him, this becomes an innovation and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.